an enormous product liability settlement is taking shape. I'm David Brancaccio. Plaintiffs say a popular herbicide called Roundup causes cancer. Several juries have agreed. Now the maker of the product, Bayer, has a $10 billion deal on offer to try to settle all claims, both current and future. Marketplace's Scott Tong is here. What is the catalyst for a deal of this size?
Well, for the plaintiffs here, we're talking about 95,000 of them. This amount of money, north of $10 billion, represents one of the largest product liability settlements ever. So it's a lot of money. And for Bayer, which bought Monsanto, the maker of Roundup, it has been losing in court. And that's always a motivator, says Stanford Law Professor Nora Engstrom, who we spoke yesterday.
When juries find the evidence to be compelling, when the diseases are serious, and they find real culpable behavior on behalf of defendants, that's when you start seeing zeros at the settlement table.
Now, Scott, what's the end game here to get everyone to sign on?
Well, this is a novel way to try to bring everybody, a now and tomorrow, and that is for Bayer to settle with the big law firms representing the plaintiffs. Elizabeth Birch, who teaches law at the University of Georgia, tells me this is similar to the Vioxx painkiller deal more than a decade ago.
They essentially buy the plaintiff's lawyers off the market and say, look, we're going to settle your entire group of cases. And in return, you tell us that you have no present intention to represent future Roundup plaintiffs.
Now, what's unclear is how many plaintiffs might still sue. Lawyers representing about 25,000 of them are not settling for now, and Roundup's going to stay on the market, so more people are going to be exposed. Bayer is setting up a science-based process for future cases, but right now it's iffy how much closure this really delivers.
Marketplace's Scott Tong, thank you very much. There's news that in the last week, another 1.5 million people signed up for unemployment benefits after fresh layoffs. That's down only slightly by 60,000 from a week earlier. Diane Swonk is the chief economist at Grant Thornton, a big tax and advisory firm.
Although the number of people still applying for unemployment insurance claim is just staggeringly high at close to 1.5 million, and even more than that when you include this special pandemic unemployment insurance that doesn't count in those state levels. But the real issue we're looking at is what are continuing claims? Is there any improvement there? Because that's what gave us this heads up that we'd see an improvement in employment in April. And sure enough, there's another improvement in the survey week for the month of June, which means we'll get another June jobs gains. What we're really concerned about now is how much will we be able to sustain the improvement, because we've got a deep hole to get ourselves out of over the summer as the headwinds of everything from state and local government layoffs continue, and we see more layoffs in areas where we've seen the virus surge. It's not lockdowns that cause layoffs alone. It's actually people pulling back in those areas where COVID cases are really high. They get afraid to go out to public places, and that puts its own cap on economic activity.
Economist Diane Swonk.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.
When it comes to retail, the COVID recession has been hard on clothing companies, but experts say the Nike brand is coming at this with extra strength, in part for being out in front on supporting Black Lives Matter. Here's Marketplace's Andy Euler.
According to a recent Harris poll, Nike's reputation with the general public has actually strengthened over the past 2 years, and there's been renewed interest in Nike's commercials featuring brand ambassador quarterback Colin Kaepernick. Those first ran in September of 2018.
That advertisement was a home run even the year it ran.
That's Daniel Kaplan at The Athletic. He says despite some Americans vowing to boycott the brand, that didn't affect Nike's numbers.
Sales picked up for Nike after that, and its stock price has done better than its peers in the 2 years since.
He says Nike was out in front supporting justice for Black Americans, but Lori Latrice Martin, professor of African American Studies at Louisiana State University, says now Nike has to think about who's going to star in its next commercials.
If Nike wants to still be a viable company for future athletes, will be the face of their brand, then they need to be on the right side of history.
And like all brands, Nike has to show up where people congregate, namely on social media, and it has to engage with the topics that consumers care about. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
Now to this virus and foster families. There are more than 400,000 children in foster care in the U.S., and stresses are high. Here's Marketplace's Kristen Schwab.
Arnie Eby's wife, Donna, couldn't join our Zoom call because she was a little busy managing a household of 7 children.
She's keeping the kids at bay outside. You know, I'm sitting here right now looking out the window and they're jumping on the trampoline.
The couple has 4 adopted children and 3 foster kids. They also have 2 biological daughters in their 20s who no longer live at the family home in Hagerstown, Maryland.
It's managing chaos from the minute you get up to the minute you go to bed.
Evie's especially worried about the foster kids. Their siblings, ages 5, 7, and 9, and because of the pandemic, they haven't been able to visit their biological families, which he says is essential.
They need something that connects them to who they are and how they will make their way in the world. And think about it, for the last 90 days, we are their only world.
And it's not just foster families and children feeling the weight of the pandemic. Karen Petit at the National Foster Parent Association says the whole system has ground to a halt. The courts are backed up. Social workers can't safely enter homes to check on kids. And reports to state abuse hotlines are down, in some states as much as 50%.
The places where children are normally seen, like schools, daycare settings, are not currently in operation.
It means once the pandemic is over, a flood of children could enter foster care. And then the number could keep rising. Government data shows that after the Great Recession, the number of kids entering foster care rose for 5 years. Sherry Lockman at Foster America says the system couldn't handle it.
And as a result, as caseworkers were scrambling to find homes for foster kids, many children wound up sleeping in hotels or in their caseworkers' offices.
She says part of the increase was because of the opioid crisis, but she also attributes it to the recession, because with financial stress, child abuse and neglect rise. Also, to an overworked caseworker, poverty can look like neglect, even when it isn't.
So imagine going into a family's apartment and seeing mold on the walls, no food in the fridge, a 10-year-old child taking care of her infant sister because mom needs to go to work and can't access childcare.
Experts are already worried about having enough foster parents to take in extra kids in a post-pandemic recession, because they need financial security to even think about becoming a foster parent. I'm Kristen Schwab for Marketplace.
And here's a quotation for the ages. Ready? "This is the biggest logistical challenge the world has ever faced. That challenge is manufacturing and distributing a coronavirus vaccine if one can be developed." The quote is from Toby Peters, a technology expert at Britain's Birmingham University, via the news agency Reuters. Experts see 2 moonshots at once here: figure out a safe vaccine that works and getting it into people's arms. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.